The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from a remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you are with us on a Tuesday afternoon. And I hope you're hanging in there. As we've been talking about, I got some really nice text messages yesterday because I feel incredibly blessed. Because as I'm quarantined at home or sheltering at home, because none of us have shown any signs of illness, but I got a bunch of family here. And I had a message, and I want to repeat it right at the beginning of the show today, because I was talking night before last with my family, and I was saying how my heart is just broken for people who are sheltered in place alone. Because it's a different kind of alone when you can't get out. And I know a lot of people have brought Cairo in as their family. Maybe a lot of people who, you know, don't listen to us on a regular basis, but now you need the connection now more than ever. And man, I got so many text messages when I mentioned that yesterday. And I, of course, would love to open that up again as I get going this afternoon. But a lot of people were just very, very sweet and said, yeah, you're our family right now. Because we can't have family or blood family coming into the house. Or I can't leave to go see them. And so more and more, you're our family. And there is simply nothing more meaningful for me in this business than to hear that, because the one thing that, you know, we strive to do is just that. You know, we're trying to be that connection when we're increasingly disconnected in the world. And that just means so very much because, you know, as I talk about all the time, there is no more revealing medium than radio. There's no more intimate medium because it's just you and me. We're talking one-on-one. And there might be a lot of ones out there, but it's you and me talking one-on-one, you know, when you tune in. And that does mean an awful lot. So I appreciate it. I appreciate, and I take very seriously that so many people are making us part of your family as we're getting so disconnected here. All right. With that as mere prayer. Oh, and if you do want to text and weigh in on that or any of the other things that we are about to talk about, the text line is 98973. And of course, I'm using that more than ever to stay connected to you, because same thing. You know, it's very different doing the show from home. In fact, it's really different from some technical standpoint. I should probably explain. One of the tools that I usually have at my avail here is I can just fire all the audio sound bites, but that is not working right now remotely for me. And so we're going to try this. Nicole has sent me on my phone a picture from her home of all the sound bites are available, and I'm going to tell her when I want one of them, and then she's going to fire it, and I have no idea what the delay is going to be like. But I thought I would explain to you that as we, you know, battle through some of these challenges, we got a little funkiness ourselves that we are trying to deal with. Okay, with all that as mere prelude, let's get right to today's Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
If you were listening yesterday afternoon, we carried both Jay Inslee's press conference. Just tried reconnecting Andrew. It's still not letting me, just so you can, in case you heard that tone over the air. We carried Jay Inslee's press conference, and we carried Donald Trump's press conference. The Jay Inslee one, he announced that they're going to have three tiers of enhanced enforcement of the shelter at home. Tier one, you report somebody and they've set up a website, coronavirus.wa.gov. And you can go there and you can rat out people who are violating the not congregating in groups or sheltering at home and all of that. And they said they'll send somebody out and contact the violators. Government will tell them that they're in violation. And look, for the most part, I've been down with the things we're doing, with some notable concerns as well. I'll get to that in a minute. Tier two, they would go and issue a citation, essentially write you a ticket if you were violating stay at home. And then tier three is the prosecutor gets involved and they could file either civil or criminal charges against people who don't follow the government's order to shelter at home. Personally, I truly do not understand why anybody would choose to violate the order. You know, we had that story yesterday of the choir up in Skagit County, 121 members. And a couple of weeks ago, they said, hey, we're going to have a practice, a choir practice. And if you want to come, you can come. And 61 of the 120 showed up. And since then, 45 of those 61 have either tested positive or are showing signs of COVID-19. Three have been hospitalized. Two have died. It's an unbelievably tragic story. And in fact, Nicole, our friends at Cairo 7, that they talked to a couple that was at that choir practice that night. And here's what they told Cairo 7 News.
It's really shocking how contagious it is. So now we know, maybe it's transmitted not just by droplets and sneezes or coughs. Maybe it's transmitted just by people talking, just by people being around each other. And of course, then if you're singing, then there's more volume.
And so apparently, because we've heard such conflicting reports. I heard a doctor 2 days ago with tears in his eyes because he was so happy. And he said, the only way this can be transmitted is if you touch a surface that is infected and then you subsequently touch your eyes, nose, or mouth. And that's the only way. So he was so encouraged because he said, we can control this. But that doesn't make any sense when 45 out of 60 people at a choir practice up in Mount Vernon have contracted the disease. That would suggest that it was airborne to me. Now, maybe they all touched surfaces and maybe they all subsequently touched their face. I don't know. They probably don't even know. But that kind of conflicting information about how we can protect ourselves from it is really, really unnerving. Okay, but here's what I'm finding so unnerving today. Because King County, for the most part, seems to be doing a pretty good job. We have flattened the curve, the most overused phrase of the last week in the world. But we've flattened the curve a little bit more than many other areas of the country. That's a good thing. But at what cost? And as I'm starting, you heard Heather Bosch's newscast at the top of the hour. There are buses driving around the streets of the Puget Sound area, 80% empty or 80% fewer passengers than normal. And as Heather's newscast reported, bus drivers are saying about 80% of the passengers riding the bus are homeless people just riding around in circles because they're not charging any fares. How can they tell?
Hey, Andrew, did we lose Dory?
I think so.
Might have to go to break here. We'll try to get him back.
You got me? Okay. Just as I was about to start criticizing some things government's doing, my entire communication system just died at my house here. They're trying to silence me again. Okay, sorry about that. Thanks for hanging in there. So let me pick up where I was. So 80% of the people riding the buses right now are homeless people, according to bus operators. We already have reports of the buses being just petri dishes for COVID-19. And we know that it's already hit homeless encampments. The Union Gospel Mission, several homeless shelters have been hit with COVID-19. And we are letting homeless people get on the buses, and they make up 80% of the passengers. What sense does it make to tell the neighborhood bar, yeah, you can't have 10 people sitting in there, but we can have 20 people on a bus and 16 of them are homeless and many of them may have COVID-19. I mean, there's no consistency. And this is where I told you right from the get-go that I'm going to be a watchdog of government through all of this. And in saying, yeah, I think King County, the Washington State, the federal government, I think they're doing a pretty good job. But we cannot give up our rights. We cannot give up our freedoms. And we can't give up common sense. And that's what I'm so worried about right now. Okay, let me give you some other examples. Because what is allowed and what is banned is very capricious, and it's increasingly scary to me because it's government that is making these decisions, and it's becoming pretty clear which way these things are bending. For example, King County bought that motel down in Kent. Well, we now have reports that squatters have jumped the fence, broken the locks, broken into that motel. And it's become just another homeless encampment. When they told us that we were spending $4 million to battle COVID-19, it looks to be, and this is why the mayor of Kent, the police chief in Kent, came on my show and told me how upset they were about being completely left out of the loop, as they were just not consulted. And we've already had one person who was sick, who slept in the motel and then went across the street into a convenience store, shoplifted, and then just went out into the community in Kent, risking more people's health. So they're backdooring their homeless plans in the guise of COVID-19. But it's much worse than that, too. There are people who are desperately in pain. And I know this because I was, up until 7 weeks ago, who need knee replacement surgery, for example, or other surgeries that have now been deemed non-essential. Cannot do non-essential surgeries. But abortions? Well, that's fine. That's essential, according to the government. Church services. Cannot have church services. They just arrested a pastor down in Florida for having a church service. And again, I think it's stupid to get a congregation of people together in physical presence. But who's making the decision that churches are non-essential and abortions are essential? Private construction, most of that has been deemed non-essential. But Sound Transit, their construction project for something that may open years and years and years from now and tens of billions of dollars over budget already, that's essential? Why? Well, because Sound Transit is government workers. Private construction is the private sector. So the government is picking winners and losers based on what is looking like an increasingly far, far left agenda. I'll give you one more. And Nicole, I'm going to have you play this audio too. But there's a big movement now in Seattle to have no rent or mortgage payments for several months. And a woman named Jasper Rose started the Seattle Rent Strike Facebook group. And she talked to Q13 News about it.
I'm living paycheck to paycheck. My dollars are dwindling. We are mandated to stay home. But at the same time,
we got this.
Being told that we're still required to pay our bills. those that are living paycheck to paycheck don't have any of that wiggle room. We don't have that cushion. We don't have a savings.
Dad, well, let's just have people pay no rent, no mortgage payments for the next several months until this is all over. Okay, I understand the sentiment. But what if there's somebody who owns a house free and clear, and that rental income is their only source of income? So now the homeowner, the landlord, they will go without a paycheck so that they can subsidize their tenants who are going without a paycheck. So it's just transferring the burden of what's going on in our economy. But who's it transferring it from? Well, the evil property owners to the renters who have become such a powerful political bloc in Seattle. And so those are my fears right now. And that's what I so desperately want a watchdog for you, with you. Car tabs. I just got an email this morning from somebody who got a $400 car tab bill. And we've got the governor, we've got Dow Constein, we've got Jenny Durkin. They all say how they feel for people who have been economically impacted. And they want to find ways to give relief. But if one of those ways to give relief would be to cut down a tiny bit on government, well, no, then they don't care. So we're seeing who the winners and losers are. The pet causes and constituencies of the far left, Sound Transit, all government with the car tabs, of giving abortions, the buses running, the homes being able to ride the buses, no matter what the health consequences are, buying motels, saying that it's about COVID-19, but it is solely about just doing their homelessness projects. Those are all the winners. The losers, private property, private homeowners, apartment building owners, churches, people who are in pain and need a non-essential surgery while they see some other clinics for procedures staying open. They have decided the winners and the losers. And I'm getting really uncomfortable with how this list is shaping up. And I'll tell you one more quick one before we take a quick time out here. But there is a group funded, so a website funded by George Soros, in part by George Soros. And they have a big piece this morning on how they are hopeful COVID-19 will be the beginning of the end of the family and of private property in America. They said that we are now seeing that the nuclear family and private property have somehow become demons in their far left view in the COVID-19 fight. And they are arguing that those are some of the things that they would like to see as bygone relics after this virus takes its toll, its initial toll. And there's a lot of things going on in Seattle and King County that look to be somewhat consistent with those views. We must be very, very wary. All right, that is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then we got lots more to do, including, what happened at Trump's press conference that caused such a furor last night? All that still to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. I'm going to be honest with you, my dear listener. This might be the most challenging technical show I've ever had. Complete crash and burn in the middle of my opening monologue. Can't play some of the audio I want to share. But, this is just one of the challenges as so many of us have moved to a remote location as we try to all respect the social distancing and all of that. So we plow on. You got enough problems of your own. You don't need to hear about mine. I tell you this just because if something funky goes down, I want you to know that we're doing everything we can to make to defunkify. There was a moment, and I was able to play this for you right at the end of the show yesterday, but my goodness, the reaction since then yesterday has been nothing short of bonkers. And that's because at the daily White House coronavirus task force briefing, the president spoke for a little bit, and then he started announcing all of the private, and one of the great triumphs, I think, right from the get-go of what the federal administration is doing, is they are making this very much a private-public partnership, because private industry is a billion times more efficient than government. And so I'm glad that they have enlisted, you know, Boeing, among many, many, many others, to help them in trying to find some solutions for masks and ventilators and all of the things that are so necessary. And of course, all the testing, the drug testing, the, you know, speed to try to find, if not a vaccine, at least maybe they could find something that would treat the symptoms of coronavirus. So anyway, one of the companies that has stepped up huge is MyPillow.com. And you know the owner, Mike Lindell, he's in all their TV commercials. And they announced that they are converting their pillow factory in Minnesota. And this guy is an American success story. You know, he just built this pillow factory out of nothing, and has become, you know, a huge employer in Minnesota. One of his priorities in employing people is veterans who have not been able to find work otherwise, which, I mean, what's more noble than that, than to build a great company, create jobs, and then hire vets? A lot of them were homeless vets, to come work in the factory so that they could start rebuilding their own life. What a success story. What an American story. And then yesterday, he announced they're converting, for the time being, one of their pillow manufacturing shops to make face masks for America. 50,000 face masks. And so he was asked to speak for a few seconds, and then he went off script. And here's what he said that has created, in the minds of the deranged, that has created such controversy.
I'm proud to manufacture our products in the United States, and I'm even more proud to be able to serve our nation in this great time of need. Thank you, Mr. President, for your call to action, which has empowered companies like MyPillow to help our nation win this invisible war. Now, I wrote something off the cuff, if I can read this. Okay. God gave us grace on November 8, 2016 to change the course we were on. God had been taken out of our schools and lives. A nation had turned its back on God. And I encourage you to use this time at home to get back in the Word, read our Bibles, and spend time with our families. Our president gave us so much hope, where just a few short months ago, we had the best economy, the lowest unemployment, and wages going up. It was amazing. With our great president, vice president, and this administration, and all the great people in this country praying daily, we will get through this and get back to a place that's stronger and safer than ever.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Please come on up. I did not know he was going to do that, but he's a friend of mine, and I do appreciate it. Thank you, Mike, very much.
Okay, so clearly Trump was caught off guard. But the guy said we, you know, should have God back in the schools, that while we're at home, we should, you know, get back to the Bible. Well, it might as well have been Satan incarnate for what started erupting on Twitter. All these people who have done nothing in the fight against COVID-19, they decided that this guy who's hired so many homeless vets and is making 50,000 face masks to just help America, that because he dared talk about God, that he was evil. I mean, and the vitriol was, as I said, deranged. Let me say a couple things about this. Number one, I do believe, as a I try to be a consistent Christian. And personally, would I think we'd be better with more God in our life? Yeah, I do. Yes, I do. But would I be happy if at presidential press briefings somebody said that we need to all read the Quran and we need to make sure we pray to Allah? Would I like that as a Christian? No. And so I can't say that I cheer for that at the presidential press briefing, because I understand how discomfited I would be if it was some other faith that was doing that, even though I personally liked what he had to say. But if somebody got up and said, we need to read the Quran and turn to Allah, would I despise that person with every fiber of my being? No. But there are people who hate Mike Lindell today because he dared talk about that. Here was MSNBC, Chris Hayes, right after he spoke, and he was so disgusted, he wants his network to stop carrying the coronavirus task force briefings now.
I think that regular information in times of crisis from the government on sort of the science and facts and policy are essential. But I personally can't help but feel these daily sessions are bad for the country, even dangerous from a public health perspective. What is your view? It's obviously above my pay grade. I don't make the call that we take them or not. But it seems crazy to me that everyone's still taking them when you got the MyPillow guy getting up there talking about reading the Bible.
How is that dangerous for the country? If you don't agree with him, then don't follow what he said. Don't read the Bible and don't turn to God in times of crisis. Don't do any of that. How's that dangerous for the country? What kind of a weak-minded person? And I have no doubt that people like Chris Hayes are unbelievably weak-minded. But that's a special breed of weak-mindedness. If you think that somebody hearing somebody say that is dangerous for the country. Because it's not. It's only dangerous for people who have decided to make it evil because of their own twisted heads. There was nothing dangerous about that. And then there are a lot of people who said, we need a separation of church and state. This was not a violation of anything that's ever been articulated. The main point of separation of church and state is that the state cannot impose a federalized national religion on us. They cannot impose religion on us. That was a private citizen who was asked to speak, and he exercised his First Amendment rights. In fact, I'll give him credit. Also on MSNBC, while Chris Hayes lost his mind over that, on Morning Joe today, they actually had a decent perspective on it.
And this MyPillow guy, everybody was attacking this MyPillow guy. Here's my thought. If you're going to make 50,000 masks and give them to doctors and nurses on the front lines in New York City, I'm fine with you going up. You can talk about Jesus. You can talk about, like, Muhammad. You can talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can talk about John Bon Jovi if you want to. If you're making 50,000 masks, then, yeah, you go ahead. Say whatever you want to say. Just get the mask to the people on the front line, and we as Americans should salute anybody doing that. I'm not making 50,000 masks.
Yeah.
If I had the capability to make 50,000 masks, I'd like to make 50,000 masks. I can't. That guy can. I salute him.
Yeah, good for Joe Scarborough. But he is now the devil because MSNBC viewers saw him or heard him say that, and they're now furious at him too. And my point being that there's lots of things to maybe get legitimately outraged about right now, but demonizing a guy who hires homeless veterans and makes 50,000 masks and exercised his First Amendment right to speak about something from his heart, if that's who you're choosing to demonize, the demons are in your head and not with the guy that you're pointing fingers at. All right, got lots more to do here as we keep taking you through all the news of this beautiful, what a sunny Tuesday afternoon it is. Gorgeous out there. Lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Well, at the beginning of the hour, I talked about how we got to be a watchdog of government because it's getting really clear how government is imposing an agenda, especially here locally, in who the winners are and what cannot be tolerated during COVID-19, the shutdown. And again, in general, I think we got to do what we're doing. And I'm not critical of the stay-at-home declaration. I'm very personally supportive of it. But I don't like what I'm seeing with the buses, with the homeless, with the, you know, the medical procedures that are allowed and the ones that are not allowed. We're seeing winners and losers. Sound Transit construction continues. Private construction does not. You got to be a watchdog of the media right now, too. And I think our local media is doing a fantastic job. They're working their butts off, and I'm not seeing any slant in what I've seen from the local media, TV, radio, the newspapers. I'm seeing less of a slant just because they are just humping to get the story as furiously as possible. But nationally, I don't know that I've ever seen it worse. And again, I'll take to task our own network that we play at the top of the hour, CBS. Let me read to you two headlines right now at cbsnews.com. Citing coronavirus, the U.S. is swiftly deporting unaccompanied migrant children. And it tells the story that there's a public health order now to curb coronavirus, and we can't allow unaccompanied children across the border. In the past, they've come across and we swoop them up and we put them into a detention center until their case can be adjudicated. But they're afraid that COVID-19 will run rampant. And so under this public health order, and the U.S. has done this in the past, they're just saying, no, we got to turn back unaccompanied children. But CBS makes it sound, citing coronavirus, the U.S. is swiftly deporting migrant children. Well, they're citing coronavirus because it would be insane to allow non-medically checked people and then to, by law, put them into an enclosure with dozens of other people. Another CBSNews.com headline. Idaho governor beats deadline and signs two anti-transgender bills into law. There's only one problem with that headline. Neither one of those bills is even slightly anti-transgender. They decide to impose their politics in. I'll tell you the rest of that one in Fast 15. That, lots more. Dave Wyman will join us. The Dory Monson Show rolls on.